a year ago, we decided that we would like to start a school for returning combat veterans, which I am one, and understand the complexities of trying to integrate back into civilian life. So we went to our local junior college. For a year, we got the runaround. For a year, they said, yeah, it's a great idea, and yeah, we're working on it, and nothing happened. And then Jack Feather from Tombstone, Arizona, contacted us about this Hearst project and said, I've got an impossible build for you if you want to do it. And by the way, there's no money in it. And I looked at it and I thought, you know, this could be sexy enough to get the junior college to move off of square one. So I told him, if the junior college will move on it, on the veterans program, then yes, we'll do it. And I took plans out to the college, and 3 days later, we had veterans down here.
You mentioned that you touched base with someone in Arizona, which I got to be honest, I found your Indiegogo page first, which is how I learned about you guys. And the whole time I'm reading it, I'm like, oh, so this is going on in Eureka, Illinois.
Oh.
And then I looked it up and found out you guys are in California, and it just seems like a little bit of a stretch, obviously. So tell me a little bit more about how you guys got pulled into this Lincoln Funeral Recreation Project.
So there is Jack Feather in Tombstone. He owns Tombstone Hearse Company, and he builds motorcycle hearses. He was contacted by the people in Springfield and asked if he would build this replica of the Lincoln hearse built in 1865. The actual hearse burned up in 1887, I think, in a livery stable fire. So it was a bigger project than Jack could do by himself. He contacted me up here in Northern California. And Jack, by the way, is a helicopter pilot from Vietnam. I'm a frontline infantry radioman from Vietnam. And then the third veteran working on it is Jay Jones in Kentucky. And Jay is making the wheels, axles, and springs, which he's going to send to Jack. Jack is putting all of it together, painting it, and doing the interior and the bunting, and then it will go to Springfield and be the center point of the 150th anniversary of Lincoln's burial in Springfield.
Wow, so this is quite a collaboration involving veterans from across the country.
That's right.
And you mentioned that the original had burned in a fire. I have heard there's challenges here with recreating something that maybe wasn't all that well documented. What kind of challenges did you guys have to overcome, and how did you ultimately figure out what to recreate?
That's a great question. It was very challenging to try and make this, extremely challenging. First off, there's four historians, two from Springfield, one from Smithsonian, and one from the Staub family, which is the trust putting the money up for all the materials to build this. They have been doing forensic research on this hearse for the last 4 years now. They were able to find one known photograph. There's one photograph in the whole world. It would be completely impossible to build off of that photograph, save for one thing. They found the original bill of lading when they moved the hearse on the train from Cincinnati, I think it is, to Springfield for the burial. And bear in mind, the train just wanted to get paid. That's all they were doing. When they moved the hearse, they wrote on the bill of lading, the rear wheels on this hearse are oversized. They're 56 inches in diameter instead of the standard 50, $2.50 extra. That gave us the scale. Suddenly, we had one known measurement. That's all we needed. And then from the photograph, we were able to scale everything from that one known measurement. It is as accurate as humanly possible. The group here at Blue Ox Millworks worked on it for 9 months. The last month, every day I would shoot photographs out and then have conference calls that night. And all four members would look at the photographs and yay or nay the details that we'd come up with and add more here or take more away, or you made this too long or you made it too short.
The Indiegogo campaign is wrapping up now. What was the need and hope for that?
Well, we did this project for free. The veterans got paid because they were collecting their GI Bill for going to school, and that's why it was important to get set up through the the local junior college, so the veterans would get paid. But the millworks, that was 9 months of working for free and using our own money to help get this thing done. And we went as far as we could, and then we needed a little bit of help at the very end to get it over the hump.
And so it sounds kind of serendipitous that this project did come your way, because it enabled you to start the veterans program at the Blue Ox Mill. And you mentioned that you yourself are a veteran. Can you elaborate a little bit more on why you think it was important to take that step and incorporate teaching these skills to veterans?
I was told that in Vietnam, for every one of us in the jungle, it took 12 in the rear to keep one of us in the jungle as the support team. I'm told now that number is closer to 21 people to keep one guy on the front line. For the 21, the local colleges and junior colleges are the best thing since sliced bread. Couldn't be any better. They're wonderful. It's that one guy they can't reach because the chasm is too great. I know, I tried. I tried to go collect my GI Bill. I lasted 2 days in school. I had seen and done things that those young people had no concept, no, and how could they? How could they have any clue? For the combat veteran, they need other combat veterans that have been through that walk, that have been down that road, to mentor them back into civilianship again.
So it's about the camaraderie, I guess, and getting to have a support system.
The camaraderie, the having a support system that understands you, that's been there, that's walked the walk, that knows the feelings that you're going through, knows how hard you're trying and the fears that you've got going on all the time, and is supportive. Secondly, if I ask you as the interviewer, what do you do? Who are you? You say without instant hesitation, you say, I'm in media. If I ask a doctor, what are you? Without an instant hesitation, they say, I'm a doc. It's ingrained. It's bred into us. It's part of us, who we are. You ask me that question when I first got out of the service, who are you? What do you do? My answer was, well, I carry a radio and call in artillery. And it played real well on the front lines. It doesn't play so good in civilian. So the combat veteran has to develop a new self-identity. Who are they? They have to develop a new self-identity, and being a craftsman is a wonderful identity. It's a honorable and noble way to spend the rest of your life. And all of these 12 guys and gals that worked on the hearse here at Blue Ox are all being flown back to Springfield and are going to be honored as the craftsman who built this hearse. That's going to be the greatest healing that could possibly happen for him. I think that it was extremely fitting that it was veterans who built this, because President Lincoln was the first president to say we have to take care of our veterans. He was the 16th president, and he was the first ever to say we have to take care of our veterans. So that was fitting and our way of giving back to a truly great, great American and a great man.